Like the corners are sharp.
Okay, so Shana Tovato, and we are now going to start an in-depth study of Hilchot Shabbat. It can take us a good while. I think there are about four volumes in the making, at least, of this series. And this Tzurba volume 16, if you would like me to get you a hard copy, just let me know. We'll order online, and we'll go from there. Okay, so the volume picks up with halachas dealing with preparation for Shabbos already, starting from Erev Shabbos, and in fact, a number of days before Shabbos. We are familiar with a famous comment that's ascribed to the Ramban that the preparation for Shabbos actually begins mentally, at least, from the Sunday before. So whenever we start to daven, the Shir Shel Yom of each day essentially is telling you that Hayom Yom Rishon LeShabbos, Sheini LeShabbos, and the Ramban thinks it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah Zachoret Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho, which is normally understood to be a mitzvah of saying Kiddush on Shabbos to highlight Shabbos. But yeah, there's an added dimension here where you would actually think about Shabbos from day one. So the Ramban thinks that the line that introduces the Shir Shel Yom, or at least it fulfills this idea, that we already start counting towards Shabbos from the very start of the week. But as far as the halachas go, in ancient times, this halacha of preparing before Shabbos and having certain restrictions already in place, because you might come to be traveling, and that way, if your travel arrangements were such that you couldn't guarantee that you wouldn't break Shabbos, travel would already be restricted a number of days before Shabbos. So in our time, it's still, I'd say, in play, but not nearly as severely as it was in the times when you were getting on a boat and trying to go somewhere Erev Shabbos. But essentially, this is what the first entry in the Sefer is about over here, where it tells us that there are certain restrictions that are in play 3 days before Shabbos. And so when it came to traveling, this is what the Gemara in Shabbos lets us know. And that is that the first entry in the actual Sefer here is Masechet Shabbos on Daf Yud Tet Amud Aleph. There's a brayta which says as follows: Tanu Rabbanan, Rabbonim taught, Ein mafligin basfina pachot mishlosha yamim kodem leShabbos. You're not allowed to actually embark upon a journey on a ship. You can't set sail fewer than 3 days before Shabbos. The assumption is that if you get into trouble, you have to break Shabbos, and therefore you have to stop yourself getting into trouble. Bamet varim amurim, what is the nature of this restriction? Ledavar harashut. And that is that if you're going on a cruise and you're like just voluntarily doing something, but if you actually are going for a mitzvah, then we waive that restriction, and we hope that the amount of time that you have before Shabbos will be enough to get you to where you want to go. And that's what the brayta continues here. Aval ledvar mitzvah, as far as if you're going to do a mitzvah of some sort, then shapri dami, you are able to do so. Uposekimo almanat lishbot ve'eno shoveit. So essentially what happens is like this, that if you're going to, yes, travel for a mitzvah, then you're going to have to tell, you're going to have to make a deal with the captain of the ship. So I'm only getting on here, and I'm going to go through with this whole journey on condition that the ship stops for Shabbos. And that's what it means. Yeah, uposekimo, you make a deal with him that the ship will stop, or on Shabbos. That's Rebbe's opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, you don't have to go that far, and stop everybody from traveling. And if you're in if you're going on a journey, which is a really short journey, then even getting on the boat on Erev Shabbos is permissible. So in the Brighter, in the Mishnah, you have a kind of a machlokes here between Rebbe and Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel. You know, how far does one go to stop a journey on a ship with regard to Shabbos? So the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Tzarich al Ayarot shel Nochrim Pachot Mishlosha Yamim Kolim LeShabbos. Ein Tzarin al Ayarot shel Nochrim. And that is that you have a din here, and that is that you're not allowed to lay siege to a city of non-Jews fewer than 3 days before Shabbos. And so if you're going to war with a city, you don't want to have to break Shabbos as a result of putting on the siege. But if you start the siege around the city more than 3 days before Shabbos, then the war can continue even if it goes through Shabbos. V'im yitchilu ein mafsikin. V'chein haya shamay omer, ad ridita, he quotes a pasuk from Sefer Devarim, afilu b'Shabbos. So if you're going to impose a siege upon an enemy country or city, you can do so. Even if you have to, you can continue the siege even if it's going to go through Shabbos. But to start it, you would essentially look at the calendar and work out if it was going to impact upon the nature of a siege on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch now, over the page, on page 24, the Shulchan Aruch paskens this halacha and says as follows, that mutar laflik bisfina afilu b'erev Shabbos im olech l'dvar mitzvah. So if there's a mitzvah reason to get on a ship and set sail, you can do so even if it's setting sail on Erev Shabbos. Posekimo sheishbot. Try and make a deal with a non-Jewish person that you hired to get you across the ocean or the river, you know, that that on Shabbos they would stop. V'machakach lo yishbot, ein v'kach klum. But if the goy does not rest, then you haven't violated anything. But there's kind of a gezeira here that you don't set sail for a non-mitzvah journey unless you have at least 3 days before Shabbos under your belt to avoid any kind of mishaps. The Rama comes along and makes a comment, but 3 days before, yes, you're allowed to. Even if there's a chance that the Jew will have to do something in order to help the ship sail, and he will have to violate the din of Shabbos on the boat. If he sets sail 3 days before, he can take that risk. So essentially, we have to try and work out what lies behind this gezeira with regard to not setting sail before Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, a number of reasons were suggested to explain this. And that is that, number one, the scenario of setting sail before might drag the Jew into a scenario which will force him to do melacha on Shabbos. And as a result, you have to try and somehow get out of this obligation that may arise. So he writes over here that Yesh Omrim Atam, there's some people who suggest the reason that Shema Yitztarecha Yisrael Asot Melacha Ba'atzmo B'Shabbos Mishum Pikoach Nefesh. So it could be that sailing on an ocean in those days was really dangerous, and since it's a makom sakana, he put himself in a position of danger, and as a result of that, would break Shabbos. So even though breaking Shabbos would actually be allowed if it was pikuach nefesh. But to put yourself in a position within a certain amount of time, in this case 3 days before Shabbos, where there's a high chance that you will violate Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. So this is the first suggestion that the Mishnah Berurah brings down. So there could be a number of other melachos or melachos of Rabbanan, at least that rabbinic melachot that you'd violate, and we want to try and avoid these melachot from being violated as well. And so you have to sort of at least be in a safety zone, which would be at least 3 days before Shabbos, that you wouldn't get caught in these particular scenarios which force you to break Shabbos. So the first suggestion is that stops you setting sail within 3 days before Shabbos is because you might be forced to violate something. And even if there would be a license to violate the melacha, don't put yourself in the situation. That's one approach. Another approach is to say that setting sail, where you'd have to sail over Shabbos and you wouldn't complete the journey, would wreck your Shabbos. So a whole different approach, not because you're going to get into trouble, but rather traveling on a boat is an uncomfortable scenario, and it goes against Onek Shabbos. And you'll assuming that for people who get sick traveling, there's no question, there's no Onek Shabbos. But for normal people who are able to travel, you would still be in a situation that it's not comfortable to travel on Shabbos. And so it violates the concept of Onek Shabbos, traveling on a boat. Obviously, they're not talking about the cruise ships. Look, for Galak, me and others that are ridiculously sensitive to this, I think even a cruise ship would be questionable. I've never tried it, but, so some people tell you, it's like you shouldn't travel on a cruise on Shabbos if you're one of those kinds of people who's going to, have a really, really rough time.
That's what
ours. Yeah, correct, yeah. So apparently the seasickness takes a while to get used to. The 3 days that they're talking about over here is the amount of time that a person should be able to get used to
That's not about fixing the fridge.
No, it's up and down. It's like the whole Onek Shabbos is destroyed as a result of this. So this is a different approach to any kind of melacha that you might have to do under license. In other words, obviously you can't do melacha stam, right? But in order to, if you know you're going to be put in a situation where you're going to need to, you're not allowed to do that. That would be the first approach. The second approach is, no, it's not to do with pikuach nefesh. It really is just a matter of enjoying Shabbos. And there's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos. And if you're going to be put in that position, where you're going to be seasick, that is a violation of Onek Shabbos. You shouldn't be able to do that. So that is the second approach to why setting sail, 3 days before Shabbos, is a problem. The Balei HaTosfot actually have an interesting reason, and a third reason, and that is that's on the top of here, page 25. The Yesh Omrim, Tatam Shasru Laflik Basfina, there's a decree against engaging in water sports on Shabbos or getting into the water on Shabbos, swimming or even traveling. And the rabbinic decree is that we're scared you're going to end up building a raft. You're gonna put something together which will help you float. And so essentially you're going to forget yourself and get involved in creating some sort of floating device. But if you go well in advance of Shabbos, then eventually you'll psychologically, you'll know it's Shabbos and you won't forget. And therefore, there's no real decree against having three or more days under your belt, even on a boat during Shabbos. So if you have an opportunity, make sure that you don't get on a boat within 3 days, you know, of Shabbos. So these are basically some of the different understandings of why there's a rabbinic decree of sorts, not allowing you to set out within 3 days of a journey, you know, before Shabbos. So these are some of the suggestions that at the time they people contemplated them a lot more than they would contemplate them today. But again, in summary, if you have a look at the page on page 25, in the orange block, it tells you that there are one of three basic approaches to explain why Chazal made a decree against going out to sea within 3 days preceding Shabbos. Number one, the person must avoid a situation in which one would be forced to violate Shabbat in some manner due to the inherent danger of the situation. Two, early voyage seasickness would impair one's ability to enjoy Shabbos. And number three, it's related to the rabbinic decree that we have not to swim on Shabbos. If you are able to swim on Shabbos, you would build a flotation device. And that was the basic decree during the times of Chazal and the Rishonim as to why you wouldn't be able to swim on Shabbos, which would apply today as well. If you want to swim in a pool on Shabbos, one of the main questions that we'd have to discuss is if this decree continues to apply. You know, and there are leniencies or lenient opinions at least, which would possibly allow people to swim on Shabbos if one really got desperate. You know, so one could start to argue the leniencies along some of the following lines, and that is that, you know, when you're talking about building a raft or a flotation device, it's because you might be in danger and you're in a real sea. But if you're in a pool where there's not even enough room, you know, for a floaty, you know, or a lalo or a whatever it may be, you could argue, well, I'm not going to make is there a real gezeira against a swimming pool, you know? So you could say, well, maybe, you know, you've got this lalo, this floaty, and it's going to be punctured and you might want to fix it. Maybe there is such a room for a gezeira, you know? Or others would say, no, in a pool, which is like, you know, the gezeira wasn't built. It wasn't applicable to our kind of home built, you know, pools. So if you've got edges where a person can easily get to the other side, you know, these gezeiras about not swimming on Shabbos, you know, wouldn't apply on the same level as they would, you know, out in the ocean. So there are these different parts which we'll see if the book discusses it here or in other areas. But essentially today, going on holiday on a cruise is a very different scenario to what was happening in the times of Chazal. That and you have to ask yourself, do the same decrees that Chazal made about sea travel in those days apply to the sea travel, you know, of today? And there are different opinions that argue this point out as to whether a person can actually get on a cruise which is going to leave, you know, within 3 days of Shabbos. That is what we'll hopefully see over here as to what people paskin. So on page 26, you see over here that there are articles written. This particular article that is referenced here by Tzvi Goldberg, it's available online on the Star K website, and he gives you an analysis of the article, and then essentially concludes that there are certain concerns that a person has to have with regard to Shabbos. They quote from a journal. Actually, I have this at home. I can probably photocopy it. Where it's called "Holiday at Sea," the Journal of Halakha and Contemporary Society. But it's written, you know, literally 23, 24 years ago. But okay, that also discusses going on holidays, on cruises, and what happens on Shabbos. So Rabbi Goldberg is quoted here as saying as follows, that there's a decree by Chazal not to undertake a journey by sea within 3 days of Shabbos. And although the Rishonim do not agree on the reasoning behind the decree, the primary concern is that a person may get seasick and be unable to enjoy Shabbos. That's the Rif's opinion that we quoted earlier on. Whereas if you set sail 3 days before Shabbos, you adjust to potential seasickness. So this reason, out of all the reasons, is the reason that is accepted, quotes the Mishnah Bura, but out of all the three reasons, reason number one is that there was going to be certain pikuach, even though the halacha would allow you to violate certain malachas because it's pikuach nefesh, don't put yourself in that situation. Number two, the third reason was the Balei HaTosfot, that there was a problem over here of potentially coming to build a raft, a flotation device, which you might need to save yourself while you're there. And so those reasons apparently take a bit of a step back. And the main reason given is that, in the name of the Rif, that your Onek Shabbos is at risk. All right. So that's the first. Yeah. he makes a point by saying that, look, if it's seasickness that we're talking about, maybe big cruise ships today are much less likely to produce seasickness. But he continues in that he says, this is about Tzvi Goldberg from the Star K, that this concern may seem negligible today, but once Chazal have established a decree, we have no right to abolish it. Moreover, some travelers do get seasick on board cruise ships, although ships may not toss in the sea like they did in the old days. But those of us who are sensitive to any kind of movement or motion will be sick.
So if you don't get sick.
Yeah, so you'd have to then work out if the gezeirah falls away, because this is the primary reason. So the question is, how does one calculate 3 days before, giving you time to get used to, you know, the motion sickness or any other potential issue on the boat? So there's an argument as to whether the 3 days include Shabbos or exclude Shabbos. So do you say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you need 3 days? Or do you say no, that the third day already you'll get used to it, and the 3 days really begins with Thursday? So there's a machloket among the poskim whether this is, the Gaon of Vilna holds that Shabbos is included in the actual calculation. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that the majority of poskim think that the prohibition starts already on a Wednesday. So one approach is to say that Chazal established a decree, and therefore, even though details might have shifted somewhat, we don't have a right to completely wipe out the decree. So if you want to now know when you can get onto a cruise, so if you're going to be lenient like the Gaon of Vilna, you've got an extra day up your sleeve to get onto that cruise. The other issue would be that if the ship then docks on Shabbos, then that would also be okay. Yes, when you're traveling on Shabbos. So according to everybody, you can get onto a cruise ship if the ship is not going to sail on Shabbos. And you know, if it remains in port on Shabbos, then you don't have any of these issues. So being one who hasn't really ever contemplated getting on a cruise, you know, I haven't experienced this personally, but I've been asked all these shilas about, you know, getting off the boat on Shabbos. And in theory, you can get off the boat on Shabbos. The whole question is, you've got to be just careful about, you know, the so-called Tchum Shabbos, how far you could actually walk, and when the Tchum starts, is it from the actual, you know, boat itself, or is it like, is the actual harbor itself considered an area, and then you've got two, you know, you've got a kilometer from there, you know, you've got to worry about carrying stuff, you know, things like your passport and other stuff. There are possible ways of dealing with that, but if you know, these are all questions that a person needs to look at when you're talking about going on a cruise over Shabbos.
Can you get back on the boat?
Yeah, so you can, if the boat's there, you can get back on there. So if the boat's not sailing, I guess it is a good question. I don't know. Does a person...
Do you group guests?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it takes a while to get your...
Equilibrium.
It takes a while to get used to it.
On Shabbos morning, get back on Shabbos afternoon. It's really fast. Look at it. Start again. The clock starts again.
But I don't know how long it takes you to get your feet on solid ground, because people often feel like they're still moving. So, I don't know. I've never been. So.
Yeah.
Probably never will.
Would you get seasick, I think, or you? No.
So we did on that Tasmania thing, but that's going through the Bass Straits,
and that's rocky.
It's rough as and it's not a big ship. I mean, big bar, almost there, but not from.
Yeah. So I think the advantage, obviously, of the cruise ships is that the majority of the people that are doing melacha for you are non Jews, so of course they're doing it for everybody else. When I don't know if there is such a thing as a Jewish cruise where the actual people that are on board are all Jewish.
Well, they have kosher cruises.
But the majority of people,
it was a big kosher cruise, you could end up having like mashgiachs and things like that if they're kashering the
majority of the staff. So the mashgiachs are the ones doing the melacha, the non-Jewish staff, which is going to be most of it.
And this comes out of the
elephant. Yeah, so there's a whole question if you know that there's a lot of people that are Jewish on the ship and they're the ones doing melacha for you.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? But yeah, in principle, this is he has a tshuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein with regard to this. You can see from the heading here, sailing on a ship with Jewish sailors. So yeah, the question that Rav Moshe deals with is one permitted to embark on such a cruise even if it departs from the port early in the week? So yeah, I think the scenario here is that if you've got Jewish people that are part of the crew, I think it's very unlikely that you'll have the majority, but you've got Jewish people that are part of the crew and they're going to do melacha for you. So even if you leave the port on Tuesday, so you've got your 3 days without any hassles, but you've got Jewish people working on the ship. So Rav Moshe here discusses this particular issue and is lenient about this. So essentially, if you don't instruct the Jewish person to do melacha and they're just doing it as part of their job, then you know you're indirectly benefiting from whatever might be done, and you don't even know what they're doing, you know, for you. You wouldn't be able to go and ask them, obviously, to do something. But the fact is that even if they're doing it on their own volition, you know, because they're doing it on their own volition, it won't really, you know, affect you. So as long as most of the passengers are not Jewish, so you can set sail with everybody. And then you got to watch from the fact that you know you got to work out what you know what the story is. So Rav Moshe writes as follows, we got a problem that the frum Jew on board is going to benefit from the melacha that a non frum person will do on the ship, and he does it, you know, because he's employed to do it. He's doing it intentionally. So the minute you have a melacha that's done intentionally, a Jew can't get, you know, by another Jew, you can't get benefit from it. But the Moshe writes like this. He says, Horeiti, four lines down, five lines down from the top. Shaloch hamur zemi melacha mamash, shem iflik, shem iflik, if he set sail on Aleph Beis and Gimel, Monday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, mutar. אף בידוע שיהיה אחר כך פיקוח נפש ויצטרך לעשות מלאכה לנוסע יהיה פיקוח נפש תאם בידוע להמיד הספינה. So he says that if you set sail on Sunday, Monday or Tuesday, then it's permissible. And even if a פיקוח נפש scenario develops and you'll have to perform מלאכה, because you can't do anything about stopping the ship or whatever else it may be, you'd still be allowed to do it. So, yeah. However, there are many achronim who forbid embarking on a cruise whose crew consists exclusively of Jewish sailors. I don't know when that's ever happened, but especially since today, one can cast anchor in the middle of the ocean and it's not necessary to violate Shabbos. According to this argument, the Jewish sailors are performing unnecessary melacha when propelling the ship and performing other general maintenance and administrative tasks on Shabbos. Therefore, a Jew may not benefit from these activities. This is the opinion of Rabbi Kovadia and Lubavitcher Rebbe.
This sounds like they're sailing ships.
I think not quoted in one of the notes going forward, but there was a line of ships called Zim, and I think they were Jewish owned. I think it was an Israeli liner or company, and I think that was the issue. I think the rabbi had a big article about this. That's why they quote him here. I have to look up. We'll see. Maybe they quoted you further on. I remember this being a big controversial story. So they're quoting from Avad Yosef in Shut Yechaveh Da'at, in his responsa. So he says, Oniot Yisraeliot, Israeli-owned ships, Sha'akarbanit v'tzeveta avdim rubam kechulam yehudim, where the captain and most of the crew are Jews. V'heimam shechim b'darkam b'nisya b'Shabbos, and they are sailing on Shabbos, even when it needs, you know, melachot to be done by them. And they're basically continuing to serve everybody on the ship. One should not get involved in such a cruise where the majority are Jews. So if it's Jewish owned and the main people involved are Jews, says Avadia, you shouldn't get on there. Ukvar Admor Milubavitch, Lita Pirsaim Chavot Da'at, Eitzel Rabbanei Eretz HaKodesh, and he published his opinion, and he says that if there's no danger to stop the ship on Friday in the middle of the ocean, then he says they have to stop it. He wouldn't allow the ship to continue. So it's interesting that there seems to be a debate about this issue. So in the footnotes, you see in footnote 13, brings an opinion from the Rama. Yeah, the question, of course, is, to do melacha that keeps the ship afloat in those days, I guess the ships today, I don't know what you'd have to do to be in danger. But it'll be interesting. So they wouldn't let you get on this. So anyway, so here you've got a number of opinions dealing with this particular issue. So I think I must just look up again, but I think I wonder if they'll quote the line of ships that it was. Anyway, this is the story.
Then if it was a full ship,
I don't think it was Frum, I think it was Jewish.
No, but I was saying, if it's Frum ship and they're playing, that they dock on Friday.
Yeah, I think you'd be fine.
But people don't get on and off, or they might get on and off to walk around, but they have like a Shabbos thing, that would not be a problem with it.
Yeah, your big issue will be getting benefit from a melacha that a Jew does for you. But if they're going to stop, you know?
They've prepared for Shabbos on
Shabbos. Yeah.
That would be nice. Let's do that.
Yeah. So essentially, this scenario of setting sail close to Shabbos, you know, call it 3 days before Shabbos, this scenario opens up a broader discussion about putting yourself in a situation where you may have to do melacha. In any scenario, in other words, whatever it is, and this is the big thing about surgery, you know, before Shabbos, how long, you know, people would have to put yourself in a situation where there'd be some sort of necessity to do melacha, because now that once you start the surgery and the whole process, there's obviously life-threatening situations which you'd be allowed to, but to start the process, you know, this might be something, saying something similar to what you would say here about the, you know, take out of this halacha, you'd extend it to doing any melacha, where you'd have to do something on Shabbos.
But that could be impossible with lots of surgeries.
Yeah. No, if you've got no choice, you've got no choice. But if you have a choice, let's say, for example, I know it sounds a bit of a crazy example, but let's say now in Azai, you know, let's say, these Hamas terrorists, they kidnapped our people, right? And now the army has to make a call as to when to start going in.
Yeah. Do they wait?
Do they wait until after Shabbos, or do they go in no matter when, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, so that would be a kind of a story.
When you finish again, page 45.
No,
normally 9, but
where's 9?
Oh, so they got me down to late 45, so it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah, but we almost there.
Thank
you.
All right, we'll wrap up and get it going.
But I mean, also when you have a surgery, you could have a minor surgery like wisdom teeth out, but day 3 or 4 is the worst day.
Yeah,
you know, like you can have a surgery and the worst day in your recovery or the sorest day.
There's no violation of Shabbat just because you're sick from that surgery.
It's not on egg Shabbos.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, so if you have bottom line is, yeah, you have a choice. So you can schedule a surgery, you know, in time to, you know, far away from Shabbos.
Yeah.
3 days before Shabbos. That's when you would do it. Because you shouldn't put yourself in a situation, even if you're allowed to be, you know, this is the interesting point over here.
But like, I just think of lots of surgeries and it's like day 3 or 4 is like when pain hits or when discomfort or there's a reaction to the surgical tape or there's a, I suppose. That...
Okay. So we'll meet next time and continue with some of these, and I'll try and order books. I'm assuming that you all want.
Yeah, so how do we pay you? Can I pay Deborah?
Yeah. Just do that.
How much are they?
30.
Okay. At least one cash flow.
Whatever's easier for you.
Pay
Deborah. You
know. On my walk home.
Yeah.
You gotta take it home with us?
Yeah, take it.
Wow.
I just, you can feel they're quite heavy. So when I was in Israel, I wasn't sure, you know, how much weight I had. So I just brought back, you know, 5 volumes.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So Jodie, we'll touch base and continue next time.
Great. I'll probably hopefully be there in person next time. And also, if you're going, we'd like to have 2 if you've got, otherwise 1.
Yeah. Okay. I'll order more. I'll just put it on the group you know, once we're done.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Good to be back.
Yeah, shkoyach.
I'm going to cancel, please.
Yeah.